This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
And what a scandal we had the other day with your Boston Red Sox. Caleb Durbin, I mean, we all can agree that he is underdelivered as a Red Sox, correct?
Not anymore. He's hot. Guy's on fire. 6-for-13.
It is very interesting when you hear that a player is frustrated with his swing to the point where he looks around at his own organization and says, they do not have what I need. I am not getting the help that I need. That he goes outside the organization and finds an independent batting coach and somebody that apparently has helped out even Mookie Betts and several other Red Sox players. But it is a strange thing that's going on. Why does the Red Sox not have the help that they need? But you know what? It looks like Lorenzo Garmendia of Gratton Baseball, he is the one that Caleb Durbin went to go find. And as I said, this is somewhat of a scandal, but good for you, Lorenzo. Thanks for coming in studio with us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. So first of all, how did Caleb reach out to you to have you help with his swing?
So Carlos Narvaez is one of my clients also.
Okay.
I used to work with his cousin, Omar Narvaez, all-star for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Do me a favor, Lorenzo. Get right into that mic if you don't.
Sorry, guys.
There you go. No problem. There you go.
And so I've known Narvi now since he was with the Yankees in Low A, and he's worked with us. And I saw that he was kind of not doing well this year. He had a very good year last year. And I reached out to him like 2-3 weeks ago and said, hey, I see some issues with the swing. I'm going to go up and take care of it. And we flew up. And within those 2 days, he started hitting very well in the sense of he wasn't getting the ball in the air to left field. And I saw that in his sinkers that are killing him. So we made the adjustment. He had 2 good games. And then I saw that Durbin was just getting killed. Just, you guys had his head on a platter. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
I imagine he couldn't even leave his apartment. So
we're ruthless.
We're the nice ones. We took it with a grain of salt.
I'll tell you what. Love Boston. You know, I love coming here. You're ruthless, but it's an intelligent, classy ruthless.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's good. It's all good. Love it.
If you hear our show, classy is usually the word that describes it.
intelligent first.
That's the second one. So when Caleb spoke to you about his swing, did he express any frustration that he wasn't able to get the type of help that you were able to give him within the Red Sox organization?
I'm going to answer this with an analogy. I don't know what the big deal is. Obviously, I'm from South Florida, a little bit of different feel. So any of you guys have kids, by the way? Kids?
Yeah, sure.
One daughter, yeah.
Okay, so they go to a great school. Mm-hmm. They got a good teacher, great teacher, whatever you want to call it. It's a math teacher. And for whatever reason, they're not doing good in math. So you would take them to a tutor, would you? I've got 4 kids. I know I did that. Would you take them to a tutor?
Yeah, take them to Russian math.
Not if I was like sending them to a school where I was paying $100,000 a year. Like the Red Sox are a world-class organization. How do they not have good batting coaches?
Great point. Great point. I'm gonna just leave it at great point.
Okay.
So you take your son or daughter to a tutor, and all of a sudden they start killing it in math.
Yeah.
Why would the school or the teacher get mad that the student's doing well? I can't believe the uproar.
Because it puts a spotlight on how poor they have helped their batters, how poorly. Because I mean,
or does it
what has been their biggest problem this season? It hasn't been the pitching. The pitching's been great. They delivered on their promise.
Do better.
Now, but first of all, do you consider yourself a hitting coach? Is that the right way to phrase it?
That's a great question. I don't consider myself a hitting coach. So just so you know, I never played baseball. So I had 3 kids that are very good at baseball. And one pitched for the Royals, cup of coffee type of deal. And my other 2 kids were position players. And hitting fascinated me. So while everybody was sleeping at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, I was dissecting the swing every which way. And guess which was the first book and person that I looked like upside down, sideways?
Ted Williams, Science
Thank
of Hitting.
Thank you.
There you go.
Why don't we read that book?
It's hanging around the Fenway. I don't know if they're reading it.
I don't understand. I mean, not the only place that they don't read it. But so obviously great hitter, had a great head for hitting. I know Manny Ramirez very, very well.
Did he go to you, Manny Ramirez?
I worked with Manny, not when he was playing, but after. Manny still hits. So
after he played, he said, I want to get...
Oh, man.
Really?
I built a cage in his house.
Wow.
Yeah. Which
house? Florida?
Yeah, Florida.
Florida, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Manny's great. Like, how about this? The most surreal hitter. You could speak 8 hours with him about hitting and just super intelligent in regards to hitting. Great work ethic. Phenomenal guy. Him and A-Rod, because I had the pleasure of working with A-Rod very shortly. Very smart, smart, intelligent hitters.
Why have you not been hired by a team?
I was offered, I've never worked for anybody since I was 19. And I won't name the team, but they called me. And they, you know, they interviewed me for a hitting job. And the first thing was like, well, what's your philosophy of hitting? I'm like, when the guy doesn't hit, I get him to hit. What philosophy is there? Like, why would you need a hitting coach if you're hitting?
Okay, so that's it sounds so simple. But like, what was wrong with Caleb Durbin's swing?
His swing. So his sinkers in were killing him. He's coming around the baseball. He wasn't letting the ball travel. Everything was like not good. So if you can't let the ball travel and you're coming around the baseballs, the sinkers in are going to kill you, and then the sliders away are just going to put you away. So, you know, in the jargon of the business, in for show, out for go. So he's a ground ball machine. He was at 60-something percent. Name me a good ground ball hitter. Like, oh, hell, this guy hits ground balls. Let's pay him $5 million. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't hear that.
Yeah.
So obviously, as you know, he knew that he was hitting a lot of ground balls. He just didn't understand how his swing path and direction and certain things that needed to be done. And I'm just really good at that.
Are you video or is it more
everything? I use. Yeah. How about this? I'm okay in math, I would say. I didn't go to college, but I'm very good at math, I would think. And so I look at analytics left and right. So before I fly in, I already know what the problem is. I already know what they're doing to them. I already know how to fix them. I already know everything. So that's why it's
just by watching video, you can figure all this out.
Well, have you ever heard like, you know, and again, I'm not an Einstein or anything, but you heard that he invented electricity because he found out how not to do it. I've seen so many swings, you know, in my lifetime and all the, you know, think about 15 years of 8 hours a day just working.
Yeah.
And I can see three swings and I already know if it's right or wrong. And then and the more important part, diagnose the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the problem. And then the fix. So if you have a headache, I'm not going to give you an Alka-Seltzer. Mm-hmm. If you have a stomach ache, I'm not going to give you an aspirin. And that's where a lot of the industry still is kind of like backwards.
Now, how many big leaguers come to you or somebody like you? How rare is it?
How many come to you?
So I've trained personally over 55. I haven't trained. I could train big leaguers all year round if we wanted to. I stopped, I think it was 2.5 years ago, because now we just open up locations everywhere. We have 30-something locations in 11 states. We're franchisors, and I think we make a bigger impact with kids. So anybody from 9 years old to high school to college that are trying to get drafted, that
sure.
are trying to get a scholarship, we have impactful relationships. With the major leaguers, I get calls all the time, but I don't do it because I kind of like live out of a suitcase. So, for instance, I just flew in last night, got in at 1 in the morning. I was in the cage with these guys in the morning.
And you're going down to Fenway today.
I'll be at BP. I take a look at BP and see what we worked on is, you know, what it's supposed to be doing.
What do they say to you? I mean, because I know that some of these guys have their own batting coaches and they've had them before. But
always.
But you're somebody that, like, I mean, it caused somewhat of a stir that he went outside the organization, especially on the heels of this article coming out where they basically are complaining of how there's no decent help when it comes to any sort of batting coach. Like, how do they look at you when you show up?
Good question. Let me just think about how I'm going to answer that. I don't work for a club. I don't have an agenda. I'm not worried about getting fired.
Yeah.
And so my whole thing is I'm here to help the hitter, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. So that's all I focus on is helping that hitter. So all the other stuff is noise to me. What they think or what they say or what they feel, even though we got ripped, by the way, because supposedly we took credit because it was too early after two games, three games, but the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, I mean, no, Caleb Durbin started hitting really well after he saw you.
You know, did put the video out. You took credit for his success.
1,000%.
And did Caleb mind that at all? Or was that kind of supposed to be like a secret?
I'm still working with him.
So I guess he didn't mind it, yeah.
You know, I couldn't understand why we got ripped. Like, you know, when you go to a doctor and let's say he can't make you feel better in 48 hours, you probably say, God, this guy is terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yet we did it with your hitter. And by the way, this was last Tuesday, Monday, everybody wanted his head on a plate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we work and we're killing it and now we're the bad guys.
How did Mookie find you?
Through Vasquez. The guy that put us on the map, and this is what we figured out. Like, I think we're pretty good at what we do. Let's go find the worst hitters. Like, where do we make the most impact? Let's go find the guys that couldn't hit it.
What was wrong with Mookie's swing when he saw you? Because I don't remember there being a period of time where Mookie
was. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
So let's go back to Vasquez. He had 5 home runs in his whole career up to 2018. 2019, I think he had 20 or 19 home runs. And he had a great career after. If you guys remember, Blake Swihart was supposed to be the starting catcher in 2019. Right. Vasquez was supposed to be, you know, arrivederci.
Yeah.
And because of the hitting.
Yep.
And, you know, he was smart. And he said, hey, you know, I'll never forget the phone call. He says, hey, we just won the World Series. But if I don't get better, I'm out of here. Hmm. They're going to get me out. And so I'll give you the series. Remember London? Yankees versus Red Sox?
Yeah, the international
yes,
series.
Yes, yep.
So the Red Sox got, you know, a little bit of them, a little an ass whooping, to put it in a better, yeah. in a nice way. And Mookie, I think at that time, was hitting like 230-something. And I got a – so, you know, they saw Vasquez hitting going, well, wait a minute. This guy's never hit in his life, and all of a sudden he's doing very well. Yeah. Common sense. Like, yeah. Okay, who are you seeing?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got a call from Mook. I'll never forget. And he's like, hey, I need to get better. I'm going into my free agent year. And I met him in Detroit. So that was June 29th. Look up the stats. June 29th, 2019. And I was with him every day till August 30th. Of 2019. Take a look at those 2 month stats.
Yeah.
And then the people that ripped us last week for being 2 days or 3 days, go take a look at Mookie's stats for 2 months.
I'm not going to lie. Telling one of the better baseball players of our generation how to swing better just seems intimidating. It seems like, you know, I've told the story about how Francona, you know, Ortiz was going through a slump and he asked Francona, what am I doing wrong? He goes, dude, you're David Ortiz. I'm not going to tell you what you're doing wrong. Like, it just seems like it would be intimidating for Mookie Betts to say, fix my swing.
Well, I'll give you a perfect one here. Every single PGA golfer has a swing coach on salary.
Yeah.
How do they make their living? By hitting a little white ball.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
do position players in baseball make their living? By hitting a little white ball.
Jeez, it seems like a wild thing. I mean, it's almost like, do you feel like a therapist sometimes, almost as much as like an actual structural type of instructor?
Great question. And my wife's on the other room. She says, hey, man, you're like Dr. Phil sometimes.
Dr. Lorenzo.
Listen, it's very stressful. Think about it. I always put myself in somebody else's shoes and say, okay, what are they going through? So you look at, let's take Durbin, for example. He's been getting hammered since the get-go.
Yeah.
Think about it. You think he doesn't want to get better. You don't think he wants to work. You think he wants to, you know, what's been happening to him happen.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it starts becoming, it starts mechanical, and then it turns into mental.
What do you say to him to get the mental part out of it?
You're asking for secret sauces now. But
just give me a taste of the secret sauce.
As you can see how my attitude is, like, I think I bring good juju. If you ever heard that term.
Yeah. Sure.
When you come hit with me and you're in the cage, you leave saying, damn, now, I just got fixed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. The Red Sox have not always felt this way. Has there been some pushback?
Like I said,
2019 or even recently?
Everything has been noise. I don't know. Nobody's ever called me to say, hey, don't work with our players.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If I get that call, then I'll call the player and say, hey, by the way, you know, they told me not to work with you. Your call.
Well, I mean, listen, to your point, if Durbin's hitting again, I would welcome you. I would give you the golden ticket. I would have somebody like a valet your car, walk you down like on a red carpet. If you can get that guy to perform the way that everyone thought he was going to, hell yeah, I wouldn't have a problem. Now, it would be embarrassing if I was the Red Sox. I'd be very embarrassed that we don't have in-house the type of facility and the type of staff like you who could reach these guys. That would be embarrassing to me. But at the same time, I'd be like, man, if it works, it works. Get him in here.
And again, I think it's a different role. I'm not a hitting coach. Like, how about this? If you put me in the clubhouse tomorrow, I'd be lost. Mm. Like, what are we doing, guys?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I just wait for, who's the guy that's not hitting? Give him to me. That's
yeah.
it. I don't care about game plan. I don't care about what else. I don't know what they do. I've never been in a clubhouse before, but I don't know what hitting coaches do. And I know they got a game plan. They got to do things with, you know, remember, they got to deal with 11 or what, 12, 13 hitters.
Yeah.
You know, I get the benefit of working with one, two guys.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what they do per se. So I don't want to say, you know, like, I don't think it's the system. I think it's a specialty. Here, you go to your general doctor. There's a problem. Sends you to the specialist.
Yeah. Yeah.
For lack of a better term, I'm the specialist on the swing.
Well, Lorenzo, will you talk to the doctors over there, John Soteropoulos and the hitting coach team, or do you just stay away and you stay in your specialist zone when you're over
so
there?
So I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I'll tell you what, I had a great relationship with Timmy Hyers and Andy Burkett.
And they're still in the game and doing pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very collaborative back then in that sense. Like, they were okay. Like, how about this? They came to see what I was doing with their players in the offseason. And
steal your secret sauce.
It's okay. I mean, you know, they're good. I'm just saying, like, I just think that we're a specialty. You know, we're very strategic and surgical. What's the problem? Fix the problem. Mm-hmm. And if you guys look at Narvi, so you guys traded for Narvi last year.
Yeah.
Had a really good year. Go back to his numbers. He wasn't a good hitter in the Yankee system. We started working with him, started doing really well. I think you guys did the right thing by, I think he's a great catcher. I think he's going to be phenomenal. Here, I think your players are really good. I think Mayer can be a superstar. I think Rafaela reminds me a little bit of a kind of Mookie talent. I think the young guys are really, really good. I think they just got to learn a little bit more. That's it.
Can I ask you one last thing? And I know we've gone over time, but I find this very interesting. When you see Roman Anthony and you saw about his injury, like, what do you think? Like, when you hear about that, how bad is that type of injury for a batter?
Above my pay grade.
Really?
Yeah. Does it affect his swing? Then I could get in. But I don't, in regards to injuries, obviously I hear about them. I ask them physically, are there any limitations? But that's above my pay grade.
Awesome. Well, the story that's going on with Caleb Durbin right now is interesting, but your story is even more interesting. This is Lorenzo Garmendia, grad in baseball, correct?
Listen, I got great partners in, I got the Gilbrides in Waltham. I got Ira Lair in Middleton, Andover. I got great partners here in Boston. You know, we train hitters. That's all we do. And Boston, love you. Love your fans. Love everybody. You can rip. I'm good. I'm from Jersey and Miami. I can take it all. But, you know, I understand how you guys are thinking. But listen, you know, we fly in. We know what we're doing. And that we got them fixed in a couple days is nothing new for us.
Well, I know that they're waiting for you over at Fenway. Hopefully, Caleb Durbin continues on the somewhat
get
of a
streak. Get this guy a ring if they win a World Series. Hey, my God, Lorenzo gets a ring.
Listen, if he ends up performing the way that everyone thought and hoped he would, then hell yeah. Then they should hire you. They should at least...
Or give you the Wally mask or something. Just sit over there during the games.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll take some good seats.
The drink water seats. We'll get you behind there. Maybe they'll hook you up with that. All right. Well, Lorenzo, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you, gentlemen.
I really appreciate it. And we will be right back in 2 minutes. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, certainly. Ken Laird. And the gentleman sitting across from me is Christian.
Hey,
what is happening?
What's up, Mark?
Lorenzo is cool, man.
Very cool.
That's a cool guy.
It's a cool story.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if Caleb Durbin continues to hit well.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's true. After he went and started visiting the guy, he's had a couple of games where he's been not the old Caleb Durbin. He's actually been going in the right direction. I do find it amazing that the Red Sox, it's so bad there that people are just, like, leaving and finding their own, like, people to help them out outside of the organization. You are the Boston effing Red Sox. You need to have somebody who knows what they're doing at that position, and
well,
they don't.
But his pushback was that everybody has in golf has a swing coach. Maybe I just reach a couple players, not the whole team. It doesn't mean that their hitting coaches suck. I'm just an alternative.
Here's why, Ken. I don't mean to cut you off. It's because almost everybody on this team has underperformed offensively. Like, it has been all season long until maybe, the last, week and a half? It has been a desert of any kind of offense. And that's what says to me that they don't have anyone decent. I mean, I would... If you go, a third of a year and your
drive
team
line.
Is... Like,
drive line.
Drive line, crap. That stuff drives me crazy. But if your team, after, a third of the season, has been as awful as they have, especially when there was so much promise with a lot of these players, I'd be pissed. And I would want to make wholesale changes.
Well, I'm glad he said they didn't push back. He said it's been noise. Because my thought was the Red Sox have reached out or threatened this guy or something like that. It's not really as bad as the Guerrero situation.
No, but they probably went to the player and said stop talking. You know, and that I would have liked to have known. Is there anybody who just sort of ghosted you? You know, after it looked like you were turning their swing around, and then all of a sudden you didn't hear from them again because maybe the team stepped in and said, hey. Because that's what I'm stuck on, is that Breslow doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would tolerate a guy like Lorenzo hanging around the team and offering advice. They didn't want Jim Rice doing it, but Lorenzo can walk around and do it.
They're letting
that's strange,
they're
right?
They're letting him by the cage. I mean,
they are. That's what's wild about it. Maybe Lorenzo's just cool and they like him.
Well, I thought when he put out that video, Lorenzo put out that video of Caleb, and it was after Caleb had a couple of good games. I immediately said, if you're the Red Sox, you're embarrassed by that. That's why it became a story. It's because I came out, whoa, you're telling me that this guy had to go outside of the organization to find any kind of help?
And it is a little premature to celebrate that you fixed Durbin, because let's be honest, we've seen Durbin, he could go back into a funk. They're not going to probably say anything if he goes 0 for 50.
But the story right now is the fact that he felt he had to leave the Red Sox to do that. It's not that... it could be that he is indeed improving from someone, and that makes Lorenzo's story even better. But right now, it's just that you're the effing Red Sox, and you don't have a batting coach that can help at all. They feel helpless. These guys feel helpless.
Well, Contreras is supposed to have a good one.
I guess so. All right.
Did I mishear him, or was Lorenzo I really like working with guys who are really not hitting well, kind of side? And I guess that's who would turn to a guy like him.
He mentioned Meyer. I think he wants a piece of Meyer.
Oh,
Marcelo, come out to the facility.
Sure.
You know?
I would think so.
Anytime, but then, there's nowhere to go but up with someone like Caleb Durbin. So.
Rob online, too. What's happening, Rob? How you doing, man?
Hey, Rob.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, buddy?
Lorenzo was absolutely
fascinating, and there was not one thing that guy said that I could disagree with. Not one.
I've
coached every level from T-ball up through Legion, so I've definitely dealt with players that were in formative years. So I understand what he was saying when he's talking about hands and sliders down and in, catching Durbin. He's 100% right. I do not understand still to this day how they let Bregman go, who's basically a player hitting coach.
I know. That was one
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, and they just they're penny pinching on Bregman for what, a couple million dollars? That's what John Henry's.
I thought it was a no trade clause, right?
That's the sticking point.
Yeah. Well, and then that money went to Suarez.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, yeah, the one thing I'll say about Lorenzo is before he came on, because I wanted to do a little research on him, I saw a couple of videos of his. I'm one of these people who can, like, golf lessons drive me insane.
Yeah,
like, I've taken, like, two golf lessons in my life, and the way they try to describe how you're supposed to pretend there's a nail going through your head that is stuck into the ground and your shoulders have to swing, it's so infuriating. But the way Lorenzo talks on these videos, it's like, I get it, man.
He's just got juju.
I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, if that works, it works. But it's going to be a fun experiment to watch Keelan Durbin.
I love how he's never played in the bigs. He just started watching. You started reading Ted Williams' book, and he decided to get into the business, and somehow it's like a success. That's a great story.
It's like, you ever heard Rick Rubin, one of the greatest producers in the world, can't play an instrument. He's one of these guys, just, I can just sit back, listen to it, and tell you what I like and what it sounds like, and that's it. That's what he sounds. That's what Randall sounds like. All right, 617-779-7937. We got Christian Arcand here in studio, and A.J. Brown is a member of your New England Patriots. There has been some pretty funny backlash from the people of Philadelphia. We will get into that. Also, Mike Vrabel speaks on him right after this. What is this song, Stiz? I don't know this one.
This is not me. Don't look at me.
I don't know, but it sounds depressing.
Is this Creed?
Nickelback.
Oh, that Christian youth of Creed.
Could be Weird Al.
It could be. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, although Christian Arcanon here today. Thank you very much for coming in at 937 WEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Paul on line one. What's happening, Paul? How you doing?
Hey, yeah, I just heard you guys talking about how funny the reactions are of the Philly fans losing AJ, but I find it kind of ridiculous how they're reacting, because they've had months to prepare for this, yet the great citizens of Cleveland just lost potentially the greatest defensive end of all time with no warning at all,
yep.
And they get no sympathy at all.
It's true. And Paul, there is a clip. Do you happen to have the one that I sent you? Says if you don't, it's not a big deal.
I really wasn't expecting it.
That's literally, they did a man on the street thing in Philadelphia yesterday where they went down there. We're telling people about the A.J. Brown news, and let's get the reaction. And the very first person they interview says that. I really wasn't expecting it. And I'm like, you're the only person in America who had no idea that A.J. Brown was going to get traded to the New England Patriots. I mean, listen, Schefter's going to scold you, and just he's going to say, you dumbass, how dare you question my sources for all these months.
I don't even know. Maybe Cleveland doesn't even hate it. I mean, they had Myles Garrett for how many years and never
won
a thing.
The Eagles just won a Super Bowl with this guy, so I could see their fan. But, like, what did the Browns ever do with Myles Garrett other than sell a lot of jerseys, probably?
If I was a Browns fan, I would just be shocked that they made a good decision.
True.
I mean, Myles Garrett did not want to be there, and they got a haul for him.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they're going to completely waste it and do something stupid with it, then that's probably something that they will do.
Eagles got a bit of a haul themselves.
They did.
But
do you have a problem with what they got?
Not a problem with it. I'm glad that the Patriots are breaking away from their normal conventions, but if we're just judging it strictly on what kind of deal it was in the market, I can't say that the Patriots knocked it out of the park or anything like that. It's not one of those famous, oh, they really swindled them. No one got swindled here, I don't think.
I think it's worth it. I think this is one of those trades where you can look at it and go, you know what? Worth it. And I think that almost most of the reviews that you've seen from, you know, different writers and stuff have said that this was good for both sides. I mean, definitely for the Patriots. It leans more Patriots than it does, you know, Philadelphia. But I just think that they passed a point where they could get him and Jalen Hurts to work anymore. I mean, there was something weird going on there.
Even A.J. Brown admitted in that interview he and Hurts have not been the same for the last couple years. He said, on the field we worked fine, but we're not as close as we were. But back to the Philly Inquirer story. So this is more a part of this Marcus Haynes column.
Yeah.
He writes, another veteran said Brown's body language set a bad example for younger players. Brown engaged in a 2-week boycott, behavior that became tiresome as his time in Philly continued. By the end of 2024, Super Bowl title in hand, he was more interested in his Hall of Fame candidacy than in the team winning, saying winning was not fulfilling. So this is very, you know, it's interesting to read the fallout there from the greatest receiver in Eagles history. Maybe this is just a columnist who's like a hot take guy. But if
sounds like Missoula, winning's not
right.
But can you do me a favor? At some point, I want to take a look and see what people were writing about Randy Moss when he left to come to the Patriots. Because wasn't there like a whole, you know, he just isn't like his personality.
He was miserable.
He was miserable.
Miserable in Oakland.
It seems a little bit almost like what we're hearing about A.J. Brown. And then what does he do? He comes to the Patriots. He's got a great quarterback, obviously, to throw to him, just like A.J. Brown has now. And it just feels to me like we might be repeating history again.
The problem with that is that was a short shelf life. Eventually, it ran its course here.
True.
Oh, my God.
And they also didn't win anything either. Right, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, for all as great as that was, they didn't win anything.
There was a banner they hung for a little bit.
They did have a banner.
Come on. They did end up having a banner that was the most embarrassing banner except for the AFC finalist one that the Colts ended up having.
But you got Moss for a fourth. You know, that's another thing. He was such a distressed asset. You got him for a fourth. I wonder who you were bidding against here. Because could the Eagles have taken Brown back? There weren't any other. I asked Chris Price last night, was any other team in on Brown? He said no. So who were you negotiating with? Like,
right. Well,
who were you trying to outbid?
Yeah. The problem was they were competing with the Rams at some point.
Right.
Then the Rams decided they didn't want to give up
first.
They
got this other thing they're doing.
Yeah. But don't you think the deal was done for like 3 months, basically?
With the Patriots?
With the Patriots. Like, this deal was done from, you know, back in March.
For a first-round pick, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why
I think what Rap Sheet was saying was more, I don't know, maybe not, because he ended up sort of going back on that yesterday when he announced it, but I don't know. It seemed unlikely to me that no other team would be in a guy like Brown, but no one was.
Okay, so does it give me a little bit of pause that the Patriots are obviously the only team that was in on it? Yes, it does. But I also think the reason that they were, I guess, steadfast and they stuck with this whole you're going to get a first round pick. It sure does seem like that was the plan the entire time because of all the leaked out news according to this deal. Is I think that they knew if they got A.J. Brown, that would silence the other offseason story that has been so big for the Patriots. And I think they knew that first round pick was worth more than just getting A.J. Brown here. It meant somebody saying something positive about this team.
The offseason's about something else now.
Yes, yeah. It is. And now, even if you have, you know, if you have Diana Rossini speak before, you know, let's say it's the week before the opener, they're going to have to talk about two stories,
right?
On the opening night, they're going to have to talk about Rossini and mention that. But then they're going to be able to talk about A.J. Brown and what A.J. Brown's doing for this team. And let's say A.J. Brown lights it up even better. Then you can all of a sudden just change the narrative. I think that it was the entire time worth it for the Patriots to give up a first-round pick. And I think the Eagles felt comfortable saying, now we don't really have to do much work. We know we're getting exactly what we want. We're probably not going to get anything better from everyone else. Let's just kind of wink, nod, shake our air hands until June 1st and make it happen.
I give the Patriots credit. In text line, somebody said, give Elliot Wolf some credit. He hasn't gotten much. I think that's true. I mean, this team is very aggressive. You could be right, Rich. Maybe they had ulterior motives to, you know, to create some interest this year, but it's worked. I mean, I feel like it's doubled the excitement level for the return, which already should have been high.
There's no question, Ken. All right, let's go to Paulie. Paulie, what's happening? How you doing?
Paulie.
Hey, Paulie.
I am not doing too great, I'll tell you. They paid a 1 and a 4 for him 4 or 5 years ago, Philadelphia, and they dealt him for a 1 and a 5. I mean, to talk about losing this deal. Yeah, it's unbelievable. This giving a 1 for him is a good player on the decline. Okay, he's got to drain his right knee constantly. Okay,
that was two years ago, Paulie. They didn't have to do that last year. It was 2 years ago with the knee.
No injuries.
Almost they had to drain it. I was listening to a show this morning. They had to drain it all the time. Twice a game or something like that.
They stick a tap into it, right?
Oh yeah, no, they're constantly draining that right leg. That's the problem here. That is the problem. Okay, it's a bad deal. He's not worth more than a 3 or a 4 plus booty. He's real. If you throw booty in, he's only worth a 4 plus booty. It's ridiculous. This guy, he's
now. Do you mean booty as an ass, gas, or grass? Yeah, nobody rides for free.
They had to get rid of him. Nobody else was willing to give a 1. And Mike Vrabel is the only guy that I know that has to have a wife and a girlfriend and a boyfriend.
the hell? What is wrong with Paulie today?
Oh my god!
Because you know he just, you know, Paulie just hung up the phone and then just put his hands up like this. Oh yeah.
That's the funniest right. thing Paulie's ever said.
All right.
Good one, Paulie. I see Paulie and Denham all the time.
And you know what else?
Do you?
Oh yeah.
And you know what else? He's gay.
Does he look like what I think Paulie would look like?
I don't know what you think he would look like.
Oh.
But probably.
Heavy set and bald.
No, not heavy set.
That's the exactly. best. He was leaned up to, and guess what, guys? He's gay.
Jeez. Why is he turned on Vrabel so vehemently?
Man.
That is something.
You got paused, if that's anything.
Yeah, really. Good point, Drake.
Oh, Paul, he's calling his friends right now. Guess what I did on the Rich Ken and Ted show, but Ted wanted Dan. It was Kristen Arcan. I slipped it in. I said, hey, that Vrabel? He's gay. All right, we might need to take a break.
Did you see the pictures, the Photoshop of Vrabel with A.J. Brown at the...
Of course. I mean, listen, they're not going to stop.
That was funny.
I know, they're not going to stop.
By the way, I missed this report. Did you see Giardi about Morgan Moses? Left practice and did not return. Unclear why, but he repaired to the medical tent with trainer Jim Whalen and went back to the locker room. So they already lost the tight end. Let's hope they have not lost their right tackle today.
Yeah, that's not good. That little side news has not been good.
Well, they're in good shape if they do. They just drafted a guy. So.
By the way,
plus a very confusing coach situation.
I have a feeling every time I see Paulie's name like shows up, my heart's just going to flutter. Like I'm just like, I can't wait to hear how he ends his call. And I'm going to let him speak. I'm not
going
to cut him out because now I know he ends every call with a take grenade. Right? He throws it in there. Speaking of take grenades, you can leave us one. Just go to the Odyssey app, press a microphone. And will it be better than Paulie's?
Nope.
I doubt it.
Nope.
I doubt it. All right, 617-779-7937. Hey, I know something about Vrabel that you might not know.
Yeah, this will be one of the best offenses in football. I think it's the deepest wide receiver room in the AFC right now. And what I mean by that is there's six guys in that wide receiver room that can flat out play. And I'm going to talk specifically to what AJ brings to this offense before I talk about the other guys. This dude kills man coverage. He kills man coverage. And if you looked at New England in the playoffs and watched what they struggled with the most, they could not beat man coverage last year in the playoffs.
Yeah. Damn right, Dan Orlovsky. I knew you were a smart man. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, Christian Arcan here in studio with us today. 617-779-7937. You can launch us a take grenade over there on the Odyssey app. We will play those in the 5 o'clock hour. Press that little microphone button, record your message, and send it to us. And we are in the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. You guys like Connor Orr? I think he's a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good NFL writer. He works for Sports Illustrated. And once a year, he does something that I enjoy. He writes the 100 bold predictions for the 2026 NFL seasons. Now, I went through them, and I found out which ones he had that pertained to your New England Patriots.
Post-AJ trade, he wrote this?
He came out this morning, so post-AJ trade. He's got one of his predictions is the Patriots will win fewer than 10 games. He said after a 14-3 season and a Super Bowl run comes the crash. While Patriots fans are going to see this as a tremendous insult, think back to the 2024 Lions, a team that won 15 games only to win 9 and miss the playoffs the following season. In almost every conceivable way, that 2024 Lions team was much better than the 2025 Patriots team that actually reached the Super Bowl. Regression happens. Schedule-induced hangovers happen. What happened last year was a kind of impromptu rainbow of a season that incurred as a confluence of many unplanned events. This year, it will be far harder to replicate. I do not subscribe to that take that they will win fewer than 10 games. That would be an absolute collapse and disaster with all the moves they have made. We just talked about how, like, what teams can you name? And actually, I'll ask you this, because Ken already answered earlier. What teams in the AFC can you definitively say are better than the Patriots right now?
Jeez, I don't know if I can really name any. I don't know if I can name it that are definitively better. I'm not sure the Chiefs are. I'm not sure the Bills are. I don't think the Ravens are. I think there's teams that are on their level but better. I don't know if there's any that are definitively better.
The only one that I would even say you could really make an argument for is the Bills. You could say the Bills.
Yeah. I think the spread for the first Bills game was 3, meaning it's basically a pick 'em without the home field.
Sure.
So I, even like... Vegas thinks you're even with Buffalo.
Yes.
And you split with them last year.
Exactly, Ken. So why I don't understand why so many people are now like 9 wins is unacceptable for this team. I mean, that would be a massive disappointment.
They
if it
were,
was 9 wins.
If I recall, you had said they were favored in 9 games and dogs in 8.
Yes, that's
But that's
true.
Probably changed a little bit with AJ. So
I'm sure that's going to change.
Ted said 2 games. Ted said it was 2 games that AJ Brown having AJ Brown. And by the way, Dan Orlovsky's right. I was saying this earlier. Like it's been since Rob Gronkowski that this team has had somebody on offense that is going to be extremely difficult for defensive coordinators to have to scheme against. I mean, I know you mentioned Julian Edelman, but Julian Edelman was tough to scheme against because Rob Gronkowski was there. When it was just Julian Edelman by himself, it was not as much of an issue.
I thought Vrabel had an interesting answer today where he was asked about other receivers not getting as many targets now. And I think this goes into a little bit of, like, are they going to feed AJ the ball? You kind of think they will, right?
Yes.
He's going to get his numbers.
He's a natural for the kind of 20-plus yards season that Drake May has been known for.
And I think we've seen in Philly it doesn't go well if he doesn't get numbers. But Vrabel is preaching, find the guy that's open. Here's a little bit of Vrabel talking about that.
Well, practice is critical. I think the opportunities that everybody gets are going to be earned. And I think that there's a spot for everybody. Give us reasons to give them opportunities. They create their own opportunities. And so, yeah, I can't predict the future. I don't know what that means. I know that I'm excited about the different versatility and the different skill sets that we have. And guys are continuing to improve. You know, Kyle, there was, you know, maybe a drop yesterday that led to an interception. A quick conversation with Kyle just saying, hey, listen, that's the first quarter. There's nothing we can do about it. Hope the defense held him to a field goal. Shortly thereafter, you know, was able to create a 60-yard touchdown and make a hell of a catch. That's why you practice, and that's why you try to script the practice as similar to a game as you possibly can. It's a long game. There's going to be mistakes that happen early on in the game. It's how we respond to
all
them.
All right, that's a long answer. But I get what you're saying.
There's a lot of guys in there that are working hard, and hopefully Drake just throws to whoever's open.
So that's the end.
Yes.
So do you believe that? He's going to throw to whoever's open?
No question. I think
not that, just AJ Brown show.
No, this is the year that the game's going to slow down for Drake. I think that in your third year, you're going to be able to get out there. The nerves are gone after 2 years. You've gone to the Super Bowl. You've played on the biggest stage. You failed on the biggest stage. So hopefully that makes you stronger as a player. You can get out there. And now, especially when you have a secret weapon like AJ Brown, it'll open up the field more. You'll be able to do more things with more players. It just seems like it's such a perfect tool for Drake May to become a really an elite quarterback in this league. He's already a
Which
great
he already
quarterback,
is. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm talking elite level if you've got a weapon like AJ Brown. It just opens up everything for him. And as I said before, he is a perfect player for the type of quarterback that Drake May is. Also on Connor Orr's bold predictions, AJ Brown will post the following numbers as a Patriot: 111 targets, 1,024 yards, 8 touchdowns. The trade, which is official, will help bolster a Drake May MVP bid in 2026 that weathers a more difficult schedule. I could see that.
I mean, those aren't like huge numbers. Somebody will do 1,500 yards, right, Arcan, with 17 games now. But
probably, yeah.
That's acceptable, at least. You get 1,000 yards. It's not a bad year.
Oh, no. It's especially if it's the type of offense that is unpredictable and you can spread that thing around.
But Smith and Jigba and Puka had 1,700 yards.
Yeah, they were way up there. Pickens almost 15, Jamar Chase 14, St. Brown 14. I think that, you know, you look at what Diggs did last year as the primary guy in the offense. May spread the ball around, but it was Diggs. Diggs was the main target. I think that you can expect there to be bigger plays than Diggs had. Diggs was a great possession receiver. A.J. Brown's like a big play guy.
Mm-hmm. And red zone guy.
One of the other predictions, Bill Belichick and Rob Gronkowski will get voted into the Hall of Fame together. Gronkowski, one of the greatest tight ends ever, will get the nod alongside his coach Bill Belichick as the football writers make up for a catastrophic mistake last year that has their voting power and responsibility hanging by a thread. There's no question Rob Gronkowski will be a first ballot, and I also believe there is no question that Bill Belichick has paid the price according to these elite voters.
You sure Tony Dungy's not going to blackball him again for the year?
Maybe Dungy will, but I have a feeling that, yes, that's a prediction. Out of all of these predictions, that's the one that I believe.
What about Kraft?
The most. Oh, man. The Kraft thing's weird,
isn't it? It is.
It's really weird.
I wonder if that drives a little bit of the A.J. Brown thing. Like, Kraft is still trying to prove to Hall of Fame voters that he's, you know, still got what it takes. He could build another winner. You would have thought last year was, you know, proof of that.
It is inexcusable that he is not.
Like, what else does he have to prove as an owner, really?
I just Jerry Jones is in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that one is, boy, there's some people who really don't like him. It's really odd. I don't get it. But the other prediction they have is Stephon Diggs will sign with either the Chiefs or the Rams. The Rams would be interesting. The 32-year-old veteran who's played 17 games last season, caught more than 85 balls and scored 4 touchdowns for the Patriots, will be a valuable WR3 option for Sean McVay's offense or a trusted fill-in for the Chiefs as the team navigates the increasing unreliability of Rashee Rice. That's, man, either team, you know, that's going to, if it's the Chiefs, that would be kind of a kick in the nuts.
I mean, the Dodgers and the Rams just seem like such significant odds to win for both those. It's what a team they have assembled there.
And Connor Orr's final prediction that involves the Patriots in some way was Mac Jones will sign a contract worth more than $30 million per season this offseason. They said the 49ers backup quarterback, who was given a small pay raise after vastly outplaying his deal last season, will become a top free agent target for teams that need a quarterback but have finished too far outside striking distance for a rising college quarterback in this year's draft.
Go get Mac.
We shall see. All right. We got to take Steve in the truck. Steve on line one. What's up,
boy.
Steve? How's it going?
Boy.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
You know, I got to ask you, really, Ken.
Yeah.
Why do you have that total buffoon always listening to Paulie on the radio?
I didn't. Rich takes the calls.
No, everything he says comes out of his butt, okay?
Everything he says comes out of his butt.
A year and a half ago, he's the one that wanted to bring Brady and Gronk back. If you remember that call when he called the Greg Hill show,
right.
I was almost dying when he said, I'm like, really, Paulie? I don't understand where he gets his information, and I hope he's listening to Paulie. Anytime you want to go head-to-head, brother, I'll go with you because you are a total moron.
Oh, whoa, Steve.
-3 balling in the film.
Steve, this is caller-on-caller crime. I want you to stay on hold because if I'm Paulie, I'm getting a little pissed off now.
Yeah, call back.
I'm being called out on the air. Paulie, if you're listening, I'm not liking what I'm hearing. Steve is bringing it right now. Steve, what do you want to say to Paul? You talk directly to him right now. He's listening. I know he's listening. What do you want
to
say to him?
He's moronic in the things he brings to the table. I'm sorry. He doesn't bring facts. He brings fiction. Brady was never coming back after that, you know, 2.5 years ago. Come on, really? And he just comes up with these synopsises that will never, ever happen. Now he's thinking A.J. Brown's a bum. I'm sorry. A.J. Brown, I think, is going to have 1,100 yards this year. Probably 8 or 10 touchdowns. That's my take.
Oh, you see what, Steve? Listen, all I know is I just heard you calling out the manhood of Paulie. And Paulie right now, if I'm listening right now, I'd be calling our phone line, 617-779-7937.
It's like Jalen Brown and Stephen A. Over
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, same level of intelligence. You know what, Steve, hang in there. Paulie, if I'm you, I would not take this sitting down. I would definitely not take this sitting down.
You better take it sitting down, because if you stand that up, I'll knock him down.
Oh.
Ooh.
Hey.
Oh. Hey.
It's getting like Bruce Lee and Bolo and Enter the Dragon.
I'm telling you. All right. Well, Steve, hang out. We're going to have Terp on with us. He has been down over at Gillette Stadium. Oh, hang on. There's someone calling. We're going to get to him in just a moment. Hang in there. There's a certain person online, too, who might want to respond to a certain manhood being called out. We're not going anywhere. In 2 minutes, we'll be right back.